know you, my Lord.
To the King of Kings.
I will know you, my Lord.
To the Lord of Lords.
I will bow before you.
To the Lord of the hosts.
I will bow before you. I will know that you are Lord. I will know that you are Lord. They will say, we're coming on the clouds. And all will bow. All nations will bow. And every tribe and every tongue will sing your praise. I will know you are Lord. 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 I will know who was and who is to come. They will know you are holy, Lord. Who was, who is, and who is to come. Holy is the Lord. Who was, and who is, and who is to come. Who was and who is and who is to come.
Remain standing for the Matovu, please. Matovu, O Halecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Israel. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your habitations, O Israel. As for me, in the abundance of your loving kindness, I will come into your house. I will worship you toward your holy temple in awe of you. O Lord, I love to be in your presence, in the place where your glory dwells. As for me, I will worship you in humility. I will bend my knee before you, O Lord, my Maker. I offer my prayer to you, O Lord, at a time of grace. O God, in the abundance of your loving kindness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be his name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, b'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, u'v'chol me'odecha. V'hayu hadvarim ha'ele, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinan tam levanecha, V'dibarta bam b'shivtecha b'veitecha, uvlechtecha b'aderech, uvshapecha uvkmecha, ukshartam la'ot al yadecha, v'hayu l'totafot b'enenecha, uchtavtam al mezuzot b'itecha uvisharecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlet bands between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Ki mitzion teitze Torah, ki mitzion teitze Torah, udvar Adonai mirushalayim, baruch shenatan Torah, Torah, baruch shenatan Torah, Torah, le'amo Yisrael, b'kedushato. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed is he who gave the Torah to his people Israel in his holiness. Baruch hu et Adonai hamvorach. Bless the Lord who is to be blessed. Baruch Adonai hamvorach le'olam va'ed. Blessed is the Lord who is to be blessed forever and ever. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lanu et Torato. Baruch atah Adonai, noten ha'Torah. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from among all peoples and has given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. You may be seated.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Lani. You so do that so well. Hallelujah. He's not limited by many or by few, right? Wow. We're down, it was the Gideon, what did he start with? 30,000, and then he got down to 9,200, and then we're down to about the 300 now. We're getting there. We're getting there, but it's going to be lights. It's going to be torches and whatever they were, clay jars there pretty quick. I didn't know what that was coming up, but anyway. All right. Today, this is the book that I'm working with from Moshe from New Jersey, the rabbi who called me and got hung up on two or three times calling through, and we got into a spiel. He said, I'm a teacher. He didn't say he was a rabbi, but he's got a class, and he's all about it. But he said he felt so bad I didn't have the right stuff, so I got the right stuff. This is what they're studying. So I'm kind of working through it, and what it is, it's the Living Torah by Rabbi Arya Kaplan. 5 books, and the Haftorah is in there. So I figure, well, let's use it. Let's see what's in there. Hang on here. And just a minute. Good grief. I'm so sorry. I put it on silent and everything. Jeez. Thank the Lord 10 times, it says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Yeah. Comes up like every hour and a half. It's either praise the Lord or thank the Lord. Thank you, Don Gossett, for that. Yeah, he did that. Praise the Lord 10 times. So, today, the Torah is Vayelcha. Vayelcha, it's called. It's like the second to the last one before it starts over, right? Vayelcha. And this is basically where Moses is just winding it up, and he's on his way, O-U-T. Moses went and spoke, and you could go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. It's verses 1 through 30. 1 through 30 if you have your Bibles. Moses went. This is called the preparation for new leadership. Moses went and spoke the following words to all Israel, saying to them, today I'm 120 years old, and I can no longer come and go. God has also told me that I would not pass over Jordan, cross the Jordan. God, your Lord, will be the one who will cross who go across before you. It is he who will destroy these nations before you, so that you will expel them. Joshua will be the one who will lead you across, as God has promised. God will do the same to these nations that he did to the Amorite kings, Sishon and Og. As you know, he annihilated them and their land. When God gives you power over these nations, you must do to them everything required by this mandate that I have prescribed for you. And he says this, coming up here, four times. That's not me, is it? Who is that? Okay, just so long as it's not me. Hallelujah. Four times, be strong and brave. Do not be afraid or feel insecure before them. God, your Lord, is the one who is going with you, and he will not fail you or forsake you. Next section, Joshua and the Torah. Moses summoned Joshua, and in the presence of all Israel, he said to them, be strong and brave, since you will be the one to bring this nation to the land that God swore to their fathers that he would give it to them. You will be the one to parcel it out to them, but God will be the one who will go before you, and he will be with you. He will never forsake you or abandon you. So do not be afraid, and do not let your spirit be broken. Moses then wrote down this Torah. You know, I always wonder, did he have to write down just the book of Deuteronomy? Or did he write down Genesis through Deuteronomy? Five books. Now, I've been trying to write out the Torah. I'm on Genesis 50, but I started 2 years ago. I mean, it's not easy to write out the, in English even, you know. I mean, give me a break. Just, I thought, wow. But he gave it to the, and he did it in one day. Okay. He gave it to Levi's descendants, the priests in charge of the Ark of God's covenant, and to the elders of Israel. Moses then gave them the following commandment. At the end of each 7 years, at a fixed time on the festival of Sukkot, after the year of release. Now, who knows what he's talking about there? It's the Shemitah. Thank you, Jonathan Kahn. But the Shemitah is, and they say we're in a Shemitah right now. And they say we're in a year of release and possibly a Jubilee. We hear that a lot. We've been hearing it a lot for the last 3-4 years. But possibly it could be right now. When all, I mean, there's a lot of things going on that are changing pretty wildly, so who knows? When all Israel comes to present themselves before God, your Lord, in the place that he will choose, you must read from this Torah before all Israel so that they will be able to hear it. You must gather together the people, the men, the women, the children, the proselytes from your settlement and let them hear it. They will thus learn to be in awe of God your Lord, carefully keeping all the words of this Torah. Their children who do not know will listen and learn to be in awe of God your Lord as long as you live in the land which you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. God said to Moses, the final preparations, the time is coming for you to die. Summon Joshua. Let him stand in mediation in the communion tent. There I will give him orders. Moses and Joshua went, and they stood in meditation. In the King James, it says, and they presented themselves. And it didn't say the communion tent. It said the tent of meeting, I believe. In the communion tent. God appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud. The pillar of cloud stood at the tent entrance. So this is an appearance of the Lord. I mean, you know, there. And God said to Moses, when you go and lie with your ancestors, this nation shall rise up and stray after alien gods of the land into which they are coming. They will thus abandon me and violate the covenant that I have made with them. And I will display anger against them and abandon them. I will hide my face from them, and they will be their enemies' prey, beset by many evils and troubles. And they will say, it is because my God is no longer with me that these evils have befallen us. On that day, I will utterly hide my face because of all the evil that they have done in turning to alien gods. Now write for yourself this song and teach it and make them, teach it to the Israelites and make them memorize it so that this song will be a witness for the Israelites. And I was thinking about the song. I'm thinking, you know, it had to be something very catchy that once they got, and it's next week you get to hear all the whole song of Moses, but, you know, we've got so many songs that are catchy and that come to us. I wrote down a couple that just came to my head while I was doing this. Now you see, I'm going to start them and you finish it quickly. It would just be like a couple words, you know. But let's see where we go with this. Rocky Raccoon went into his room only to find
Gideon's Bible.
That's right. Bad Leroy Brown, best man in the whole
town.
That's right. I know, I wanted to hold it. Puff the Magic Dragon
sailed by the sea.
That's right. See, you know these things. We haven't practiced them, but they're in your heart and they're in your mouth. Alice's Restaurant, accepting you can get anything you
want at Alice's Restaurant.
How about, drove my Chevy to the
levee
and the
levee was dry.
That's right. The Edmund Fitzgerald, boy. I'm not even going to do that one. How about Big John?
Big John, Big Bad John.
That's right. Now I got three more.
Three,
okay. Lemon tree.
Lemon tree.
That's right. Lemon flowers, sweet. The fruit of the poor lemon is impossible to eat. How about this one? Go ahead and hate your neighbor.
What?
Go ahead and cheat a
friend.
Do it in the name of
heaven.
You can justify it in
the end.
See, you know that. How about the cats in the
cradle?
Silver. Little boy blue and the man in the moon, right. And I think that was it. But that. Okay, the bottom line is, these songs pale in comparison to what Moses' song is and was. And he's going to teach it to them next week, and they're going to remember it for thousands of years. Isn't that something? So anyway, make them memorize it, so that this song will be a witness to the Israelites. And when I bring them into the land flowing with milk and honey that I promised to their ancestors, they will eat, they will be satisfied, they will live in luxury. They will then turn to foreign gods and worship them, despising me and violating my covenant. And when they are then beset by many evils and troubles, this song shall testify for them like a witness, since it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know their inclinations. Therefore, and what they are doing right now, even before I have brought them to the promised land. On that day, Moses wrote down this song and he taught it to the Israelites, and God gave orders to Joshua also to be strong, be brave. Since you will bring the Israelites to the land I have promised them, I will be with you. Moses finished writing down the words of this Torah in a scroll to the very end. And Moses then gave orders to the Levites who carried the Ark of God and the covenant, saying, take this Torah scroll, place it in the side of the Ark of God, your Lord's covenant, leaving it there as a witness. I'm aware of your rebellious spirit and your stubbornness. Even when I am here alive with you, you are rebelling against God. What will you do after I'm dead? Gather to me all the elders of your tribes and your law enforcers, and I will proclaim these words to them. I will bring heaven and earth as a witness for them. I know that after I die, you will become corrupt and turn away from the path which I have prescribed to you. You will eventually be beset with evil, and since you have done evil in God's eyes, angering him with the work of your hands, then Moses proclaimed these words and the words of this song to the entire assembly. It starts the next one right there. That's it. That's it. According to this, Ha'ezenu is the next one. Starts right there. Sorry. I thought 30 through 31, it's only 31 verses, right? I didn't mean to go so long. Marcia brought up to me that this week here is also called the Haftorah Shabbat Shuvah. The Haftorah Shabbat Shuvah. Which means repentance, right? Shuvah?
Yes.
Sabbath of repentance. It's the Sabbath between Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, and Yom Kippur. We're right in the middle here. Well, actually, Thursday is Yom Kippur. So these are the days of awe right now. And we are in a mode of repenting and in a mode of really seeking the Lord. And I'll just take a couple here in the Haftorah here. In, say, Hosea 14, 2 through 10, that's eight verses. Return, O Israel, to God your Lord, for you have stumbled because of your sins. Take with you words and return to God. Say to him, forgive all iniquity, grant us favor, so we will offer the words of our lips for bullocks. Asher will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say the work of our hands, you are our gods, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. I will not heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. No, this is a mistranslation here. It says, I will not heal their backsliding, but in the King James, it does say he will. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. Excuse me. He will blossom like the lily and cast forth his roots like the Lebanon. His branches will spread, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, his fragrance like the Lebanon. Two more verses. Those who dwell under his shadow will again make corn grow and blossom like the vine, become as fragrant as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim will say, what have I to do anymore with idols? It is I who respond and care for him. I am like the evergreen tree. Your fruit comes to me. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For God's ways are right, and the just walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. And then there's the Brit Hadashah this year. And it's in Matthew 21. Verses 9 through 17. Matthew 21, verses 9 through 17. And it's basically didn't seem to tie out to me at all. And the multitudes went before that, and they cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed be he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. This is like the Holy Week before Passover. I don't know why they put that in here. Except there was a reference to Leviticus 23:40, and that basically says, and you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And so that's like where we're at right now in the 7 days. Well, no, I think that's Sukkot. That's during Sukkot, right? Yes. And you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations, and I think that includes even now. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month, and ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. And all that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So that's coming right up. Now, I had a little bit of a commentary, not much. Where we are right now. Everyone is frustrated and confused and mad. The enemy has distracted us from the real issue in order to divert our attention from what is really important. I listened to a commentator, excellent newsman, who said, what is going on with the mandate for the shot is a diversion. The important thing is that the results of the Arizona audit, which came out on Thursday, how many knew that? The audit did come out on Thursday. So this mandate, he was saying, is a big distraction trying to divert everybody's attention. And we were all focused on the shot mandate. How could the question on... And now the question on so many people's minds, is there an exemption? Is this a police state? What about Australia? Mark of the Beast, VAERS, HCQ, ivermectin, graphene oxide, PCB test. Did Fauci lie? The world in today's parasha says, fear not, four times. People are saying, what can I do? I feel so helpless. Is there going to be civil war? Should we raise up? Should we declare independence 2.0? They're out there. It's true. Let me submit both of these issues, the shots and the votes, are distractions and diversions from the real issue. The key domino in our area, the true issue, is innocent blood, the shedding of innocent blood. The blood of millions of unborn children is crying out to the Father. Yeshua hears their every cry, innocent blood. Last week, we had a significant victory in the war to save children, to stop the shedding of innocent blood. A Texas court judge rolled out a law, or ruling outlawing abortion after the 16 weeks was not overruled by the Supreme Court. And this has sent shockwaves through the enemies and is a significant victory, encouragement, and strengthener in the fight to save innocent lives, to stop the shedding the blood of innocents. We are at, and then it was Shabbat Shuvah, repent. These are the days of awe. And this is the Shabbat between Yom Terah, the Torah, the trumpets, and atonement. The enemy is using the innocent blood as a covering for his own sin. He is using it to avoid death as a fountain of life for himself, stolen for his own life support. But we, the family of God, have standing in the courts of heaven. We have legions of angels, as Abba was saying, assigned to our command. We have the words of Almighty God, and the words on our, and his words are on our lips. It's not what they are going to do. Get your eyes off of them. It is what are we going to do? It's what am I going to do? This is our Red Sea moment. This is our such a time as this. If we do nothing, salvation will arise for the people of God, for the innocent children. But we in our house will be lost. The Lord of the harvest is standing at his throne. He is calling us to the harvest. He will never leave us or forsake us, but we have to go forth to take the steps to recognize what is that in the hand. Don't cry, go forth. Rise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon you and his glory shall be seen upon you. It's amazing what happens at 2:34:56 in the morning. 2:34:50. I woke up at 2:34:56 this morning. Hallelujah. That is Shabbat. That's it. That's what I got. So there it is. There you are.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torat emet, v'chaye olam natah betochenu. Baruch atah Adonai, noten haTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and has thereby planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, giver of the Torah. Amen. You may be seated.
Shabbat Shalom. Okay, this is our prayer time here. So, Sure. Anyway, we're going to lift it before the Lord, our community. What is
Mr. Leia? Leia, do you want to join with us praying?
Anyway, we're going to lift up before the Lord our congregation and the community and the nation and Israel and all the items that are important to in that. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time of Sabbath. We thank you for this time period that you have given to us, time between trumpets and atonement and eventually into tabernacles. We thank you for your festivals, Lord, that we remind us of all what you have promised to do and what you will be doing and just the holiness that you are. And Lord, we just ask that you just make us to always in this place honor you and give you honor and glory and to raise up the name of Yeshua in all things. Lord, we just ask that you pour your blessings upon the members of the congregation, that you minister to them in the way that they need, that you hear their prayers and meet their needs, whatever they may be, and that you just pour your blessings upon them, Lord. Those who are not here, we just ask you to protect and watch over them. Those who are in ill health, we pray a healing touch upon them, that you pour your healing upon them. And whatever needs they may need, you just meet that need, Lord. We just, again, ask that you hear their prayers and meet their needs, whatever they may be. And Lord, we just ask that you let this congregation to be a light into the community. Reach out into the community and draw in here those who are having questions and who are hurting and who are searching after you. Just draw them into this place, Lord, and put it upon us, wisdom and knowledge and how to minister to them and to show your love to them. And Lord, just make this congregation to be a light in this place and throughout this community and make it to do so always in honor and glory to you in Yeshua's name.
Yes, God. Holy God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, we humble ourselves before you and we come boldly to your throne of grace to find help in our time of need. Oh God, we lift up Eretz Yisrael. We pray, oh God, for her peace, that the peace of the Lord would reveal Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, to her people, O God. Oh, Father, be with her in the midst of this pandemic. Oh, God, give her wisdom with the nations that are surrounding. Ezekiel 38 and 39 are coming close to coming to pass. Lord, we are living in prophetic times. Oh, God, let us not live in pathetic times, but prophetic, Lord.
Yes.
Let us be on the cutting edge. Let our hearts be on fire.
Yes.
Let our vision be clear. Let our mind be anointed and consecrated. Oh, God, let us hear your voice, know your thoughts, and do your will. Yes. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Oh, God, hear in us. Oh, God, as it is in heaven, here in us, in this place, at this time. Oh, Father, thank you, Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, for making it happen.
Let us fulfill our destiny, God, what you've called us to do, what you've called us to be. God, we're not here because we're not here on our own. We're here for you.
Yes.
We live for you.
That's right.
We die for you.
That's right.
Lord God, as this is Teshuvah time, let us repent and let us come back to our first love.
Oh, God.
And let our first love stick with us. And let the fear of God come upon us and overtake us so that we're always in your presence, for in your presence is fullness of joy. God, we want to be vessels that you can pray through, and that our prayers would avail much.
Amen.
Much.
Yes.
Much.
Yes.
Oh, God. Our prayers need to avail much. There are so many needs in this world, God. So many needs that we see that need to be fulfilled. Let us be about our Father's business, and let us be prepared for your return in Yeshua's name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just lift up Chris Rush and the leadership of all hands on deck, Lord God. And he has the siege planned here at the end of this month and the end of October, the end of November. Just he's calling together the bodies, Lord, the men on fire and all the support teams out there, Lord, that are with your will, that are bringing the kingdom, Lord. The violent take it by force, Lord God. We're going forth in the power of your might. Father, you bless them and that and us in it, Lord God. Father, I just pray also lift up Chosen People Ministries right now, Lord, as we're doing a 911 memorial service in New York right now with Ann Graham Lotz and Joel Rosenberg, Mitch Glazer, Marty Goetz, a lot of the first responders, the survivors. It's a powerful thing. It's live now, but it'll be available. But Lord, we just pray your anointing on it, Lord God, as we call to remembrance your power in this time, Lord God. Father, I just also want to lift up Rabbi Moshe in New Jersey and all of his class, Lord, that are just kind of pecking at us, Lord. But we're able to deliver our souls and to give them that what they're looking for in a roundabout way, you, Lord, and help their hearts to receive you, Lord God. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It will not return void, and we have given it to them, Lord. So we just ask that you open their hearts and help them to receive. Let the scales fall off their eyes. In Yeshua's name, hallelujah.
Fear of God, fall.
Hallelujah, Lord God Almighty. Praise your holy name, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. O Abba, in the name of your Son Yeshua, our coming Messiah, I come on your throne. I humble myself before you. And I thank you, Father, Lord God, for your faithfulness to all of us, Lord God, here, and to all the people out there, Lord God. Father, right now I leave up to you our nation. Lord, you know what's going on out there, Lord God, from the top to the bottom position, Lord God. Lord, I draw a bloodline in all the government buildings, Lord God, in this nation. Father, thank you for sending your billions of angels to take over in those places, Lord God. You know what's the plan of the enemy, Lord God. But we trust you, Lord God, that you're a mighty God, that there's no one like you. And thank you, Lord God, for taking all the people in the government into repentance, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for doing that, Lord God. You know them, Lord God. You know, Lord God, that the fear of the Lord, Lord God, be upon them, Lord God. Touch their heart, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, you're the only one who can touch them. You can, everything that impossible to man will be possible to you, Lord God. And thank you for doing that, Lord God. Holy Spirit, please intercede through me. Praise your holy name, Lord God. Praise your holy name. Oh, Holy Father, I lift up to you all the congregation, all the synagogue in this nation, Lord God, in this city, Lord God, in every state, Lord God, every synagogue, every churches, that targeted by the enemy, Lord God. Father, I pray that you send your billions of angels to cover them, to hide them, to make them invisible in the eyes of the enemies, Lord God, right now in Yeshua's name. And Father, that the blood of Yeshua cover them and protect them and keep them safe, Lord God. All of them, Lord God, all the members, all those people who are going in those locations, and even here in St. Louis Park, Lord God, in this location, Lord God. Father, thank you for hiding this place, Lord God. Thank you for special protection that you are giving to all of us here and all the synagogue and all the churches in this country in Yeshua's name. Father, thank you for taking over the whole thing, Lord God. Lord, you know the plan of the enemy and the satanic forces out of the darkness, Lord God. Lord, we command that to be destroyed and smashed all in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, Almighty God. Lord, we are using our authority as your children, Lord God, to tread on serpents and scorpions, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us in Yeshua's name. That those spirit of witchcraft, spirit of demonic spirit out there be destroyed and smashed in Yeshua's name. In Yeshua's name. And there's power in the name of Yeshua, and there's power in the blood of the Lamb. And Father, thank you for your faithfulness, Lord God, that for the sake of the few who are faithfully serving you, thank you for your mercy and grace that you are giving to all of us in this nation, Lord God. Thank you for saving our country, Lord God. Thank you for taking over to those people who are sick from viruses or whatever viruses that's going on out there in the air, Lord God. And whatever, Lord God, for Obayasiki Hashenda Rabayasi, then the Rabayasoko Roshanda Rabayasiki Hishenda, then the Rabayasika Roshanda Rabara Koshinideha. You are a mighty God, Lord. You are a victorious God, and there's no one like you, that the righteousness and the holiness will be upon in this nation, and wickedness will be destroyed to the mighty hands of God in Yeshua's name. Father, you are the same yesterday and today and forever. And thank you, Lord God, that you never change, Lord God. Thank you for your faithfulness to this nation, Lord God, and around the world and to your people, Lord God. Thank you for rising up more warriors, intercessors, Lord God, to intercede, Lord God, 24/7, Lord God, to continue to fight a good fight of faith, Lord God, for the soul, for the unborn babies, Lord God, in Yeshua's name, not only to this nation, but around the world, Lord God. We speak life to this nation, Lord God. We speak life to those old babies in their mother wombs right now, that they will live and they will not die. They will be born alive, healthy, and that your will be done unto their lives, Lord God, that your purpose and unto their lives will be fulfilled, that their destiny will be fulfilled, Lord God, according to what you wrote in their book of lives, Lord God. And Father, thank you. And thank you also for replacing those babies who was killed by the enemy, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for multiplying the womb of the ladies in this nation around the world to bring more babies, triplet, fourlet, stand in one time in Yeshua's name, to replace all those babies, Lord God, that killed by the enemies in Yeshua's name, showing to the enemy, Lord God, to Satan, Lord God, that he's a liar, that he's defeated a long time ago when Yeshua died in the cross. And Father, thank you for reminding the enemy, Lord God, that he's defeated already long time ago in Yeshua's name, in Yeshua's name. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you. We love you. We glorify you, and we give you all the glory and honor, praise. And thank you for being a victorious God. And we are victorious too, because we are your children. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Okay. A couple of items, and then Rabbi is going to do the teaching. They had in the news last week that the last Jewish person has left Afghanistan. Was an older man who was a rabbi there at a synagogue.
In Afghanistan.
He stayed in Kabul. His neighbors protected him. They had a love for him. Even though they were Muslim, they had a love for him, and they protected him. And they were the ones who managed to get him out of the country, and he's on his way to Israel.
Praise.
But if you go back 60 years, apparently the Jewish population of Afghanistan was 40,000. And in that amount of time, it went down to zero because of the militant Islam factions that have risen up in that area and that, but he didn't want to leave. He was born in there. He says that was his home, but his family moved on like two years ago to Israel, and he had stayed behind trying to save his synagogue or whatever, but it just he wasn't able to. But it was his Muslim neighbors that had a love for him. They cared for him. One people that he had lived around for decades, and they were able to secretly get him beyond the Taliban and out of the country.
Yay. Lord
so, and our Yom Kippur service will be Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Is it going to be in here or the Fellowship Hall, or have you determined yet?
I think it's here, but when you get here, you can check. If we're not here, we'll be in the Fellowship Hall.
So, anyways, 7 p.m. For those of you who missed our Rosh Hashanah celebration, it was really nice. And for that one, we had treats afterwards. For Yom Kippur, we will not be having treats afterwards. So.
Well, the numbers automatically went down.
So.
Hey, Rob, did anybody pray for Bethel Synagogue?
No.
In St. Louis Park?
Well,
but
not in particular.
Every, not only that, but the, all the synagogues, because we don't know who else are on the track. So that's why I mentioned that every
So, like I said, Rabbi Ed's doing the teaching this Shabbat, so.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Stand.
Excuse me?
Do you need a stand?
Oh, it wouldn't hurt. Thank you. Yeah, there we go. Because this is Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of Repentance, and Paul is leaving. Because I'm starting my teaching. It's okay, Paul. I forgive you. This is a Sabbath of repentance. I repent for being offended that you were leaving. I know. Yes, sir. Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. When Nathan the prophet came to David, after he went into Bathsheba. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your mercy. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was born in iniquity. Oh, come on. Touch it and it moves. Behold, I was born in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Surely you desire truth in the innermost being. Make me know wisdom inwardly. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. And hyssop is what they dipped in the blood when they put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Thank you, God. Let me here join gladness, so the bones that you have crushed may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right and steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with your willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guilt, O God, God of my salvation. Then my tongue will sing for joy of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you would not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it, nor be pleased by burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In your favor, do good to Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altars. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Abba, Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for this opportunity to be before your people and to share your word. Ask you to anoint me as I share the word and to anoint us to receive it. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to understand. And change us, O God, that we might be conformed to your image and your likeness, that we would do your will. Oh, God, that it would be our pleasure, that we would seek your face and run after you and, Lord, be available for your hand to be upon us, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done here in us, here in this day, in this time, in this place, oh God, as it is in heaven. We ask it in the name of Yeshua for the glory, honor, and praise of Almighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. We're in a Revelation. I believe it's chapter 5. I am reading from the Tree of Life version. Impressive and fearful sights at the throne of God. Hallelujah. Better pull out my phone because I forgot to wear my watch today. All right. Thank you, Lord. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. They are reminiscent of God's fearful presence at Mount Sinai. They communicate the awe associated with the throne of God. The Holy Spirit, the seven spirits of God, is referred to in Revelation 1:4 and Isaiah 11:2, is represented by seven burning lamps. In other passages, the Holy Spirit is represented as a dove in Matthew 3:16, or a flame of fire in Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. The lamps of fire are important because the Holy Spirit is not ordinarily visible. To become visible, he represents himself in a physical form, like we've just seen, like a dove or a flame of fire. The sea of glass before the throne. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. Is this sea really made of glass, or is it lucite? No. Or did it just look like it? Commentators are divided on this point. For example, Robertson says, appearance, not material. And Alford says, material and not appearance. Isn't it wonderful how you get two commentators and you get different opinions? Whether it looks like glass or is actually made of glass, it is the finest glass, like crystal. A sea, a body of water before the throne, is reminiscent of the laver that the priests use in the tabernacle and are washing our hands with the water of the word, washing our lives, our hearts, with the water of the word in Ephesians 5:26. The word is used, the word to us is as crystal glass, giving us a clear insight of God and of ourselves. We find this in 2 Corinthians 3:18 and James 1:23.
The four living creatures are all around the throne. And in the midst of the throne and all around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had the face of a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. Pretty interesting. Four living creatures full of eyes. From comparison with Ezekiel 1, 4 through 14, and 10, 20 through 22, we understand these creatures to be cherubim. The spectacular angelic beings surrounding the throne of God. Hasatan was once one of these high angelic beings. According to Ezekiel 28 and verse 14, before he fell and was demoted. Cherubim were also prominent in the design of the tabernacle, particularly in the most holy place, Exodus 25, verses 17 through 22, and 26, 1 through 31. The scriptures show us that the tabernacle is a model of the throne of God in some manner, Exodus 25, verses 8 through 9. The angelic creatures were full of eyes in front and in back, full of eyes around and within. Their multitude of eyes indicates these living creatures, not beast as in the King James Version, are not blind instruments or robots. They know and understand and have greater insight and perception than any man. These beings of great intelligence and understanding live their existence to worship God. All failure to truly worship is rooted in a lack of seeing and understanding and knowing who God is. The way these super intelligent beings worship God reminds us that our worship must be intelligent. Our service must not be rash, but reasonable. Romans 12:1, such as wherefore we can render a reason. God hates a blind sacrifice, a Samaritan service when men worship what they know not or why. John 4:22. The word beast is very improperly used here and elsewhere in this description. Wycliffe first used it, and translators in general have followed him in this uncouth rendering. Like a lion, like a calf, a face like a man, like a flying eagle, John described the four cherubim, each with a different face. From comparison with Ezekiel 1, verses 6 through 10, we can see that each of the cherubim have four faces. And at that moment, John saw each one of the four different faces pointed in his direction. The significance of these four faces has been interpreted in many ways. The four faces have been said to represent the elements, the cardinal virtues, the faculties and powers of the human soul, the patriarchal churches, the great apostles, the orders of churchmen, the principal angels, and so on and so forth. Some commentators say these four creatures speak of the ensigns of the head tribes as Israel camped in four groups around the tabernacle in the wilderness, Numbers 2:3, 2:10, 2:18, and 2:25. Mention this organization of the tribes under these four heads, but does not assign mascots to tribal banners. Seiss, Clark, and Poole each mention this approach, and Seiss, the Talmudists, Clark, and the learned Mead from the rabbins, Poole. Poole explains that these were the four creatures whose portraitures were in the four ensigns of the Israelites as they were marshaled into four companies, allotting the men of three tribes to each company. Judah's standard had a lion in its colors, according to Jacob's prophecy of that tribe, Genesis 49:9. Ephraim had an ox, Reuben had a man, Dan an eagle. This, the learned Mead proves from the rabbins. The four different faces of the cherubim are often taken as symbols of Yeshua, as represented in each gospel. In classical church architecture, these four characters are repeated often as a motif that signifies both heaven and the four gospels. Because there is no specific connection between the four faces of the cherubim and a particular gospel, different traditions have connected these four faces of the cherubim in different ways. Some have seen Matthew as the lion gospel, showing Yeshua as the lion of the tribe of Judah. Mark has been seen as the ox gospel, showing Yeshua as a humble servant, one who is a hard worker. Luke is seen as the man gospel, showing Yeshua as the perfect man, the second Adam. Yohanan, John, is seen as the eagle gospel, showing Yeshua as the man from heaven who came down from the skies. Still, this approach also has other interpretations. Perhaps it's safest to say that the four faces are important because they represent all of animate creation in its utmost excellence. The lion is the mightiest of wild animals, the ox the strongest of domesticated animals. The eagle is the king of all birds, and man is the highest of all of God's creation. In Shemoth Rabbah, section 23, verse 122, Rabbi Abin says, there are four which have principality in this world among intellectual creatures. Man among birds, the eagle among cattle, the ox among wild beasts, the lion. Each one has a kingdom and a certain magnificence, and they are placed under the throne of glory, Ezekiel 1 and verse 10, to show that no creature is to exalt itself in this world, and that the kingdom of God is over all. These creatures may be considered the representative of the whole of creation. These cherubim are qualified with all necessary endowments for the discharge of their duties, being bold as lions, painful as oxen, prudent as men, delighted in high flying as the eagles. As well, it is significant to see the Bible associates a face with the idea of a person. 1 Chronicles 12:8, 2 Chronicles 29:6, Isaiah 3:15. Here we have singular beings with four faces. Apparently they are beings that can be more than one person, as our God is one God in three persons. Poole says that these four faces illustrate the different personalities God's ministers have. By them is signified the various gifts with which God blesses his ministers, giving to some more courage and fortitude, that they are like lions, to others more mildness and meekness, that they are like oxen or calves. Others have more wisdom and prudence, which must adorn a man, others a mere piercing insight into the mysteries of God's kingdom, rendering them like eagles. John describes what happens at the throne of God. The living creatures constantly worship the Lord, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." The cherubim constantly repeat the phrase, "Holy, holy, holy." God's holy nature and character is declared and emphasized continuously with this threefold repetition. In Hebrew, the double repetition of a word adds emphasis, while the rare threefold repetition designates the superlative and calls attention to the infinite holiness of God. They do not rest. They have no rest, and yet they have no unrest neither. The sweet content they take in their continual employment is fitter to be believed than possible to be discoursed. Lord God Almighty, the cherubim declared that the Lord God is almighty, as in Revelation 1:8. The ancient Greek word is pantokrator, with the idea of the one who has his hand on everything, who was and is to come. This repeats another idea from Revelation 1:8 and refers to God's eternal being. It translates the thought behind the meaning of the name Yahweh. The 24 elders worship the eternally enthroned God. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "To receive glory and honor and, oh, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist, and they are and were created." Wherever the living creatures give glory, the 24 elders fall down before him. Whenever the living creatures give glory, the 24 elders fall down before him. The worship of the 24 elders is prompted by the cherubim. Since the cherubim worship God day and night, so do the elders. Knowing angels should worship God should prompt our worship also. Do we have any less to praise him or thank him for? Do we sing as much as the birds do? Yet, what have birds to sing about compared with us? Do we sing as much as the angels do? Yet they were never redeemed by the blood of Messiah. Birds of the air, shall you excel me? Angels, shall you exceed me? You have done so, but I intend to emulate you, and day by day and night by night pour forth my soul in sacred song. This is a quote from Charles Spurgeon in the Holy Song of Happy Saints. If we would have our souls set as a pearl in the fair ring of heavenly courtiers that compass the Lamb's throne, let us praise God as they do. Okay, let me see. Yeah. All right. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him. The 24 elders worship, which means to credit worth and worthiness to God. The elders credited for their own work and reward, and they did as they cast their crowns before the throne. They recognize that the worth and the worthiness belong to God and not to themselves. Casting their crowns simply acted out their declaration, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive all glory and honor and power. If God was worthy of the glory and honor and power, then he should also get our crowns. There is also an allusion to this practice in the Roman Empire. The Emperor of Rome ruled over many lesser kings, and these kings were at times commanded to come before the emperor and lay their crowns before him in homage. Then he would give them back their crowns as a demonstration that their crowns, as their right to rule, their victory, all came from him, this acknowledging the supremacy of the emperor. The crowns mentioned in Revelation 4:10 are the Stephanos. Those are the crowns of victory and not royalty. These are the crowns of achievement that a winning athlete would receive at the ancient Olympian Games. The 24 elders representing all the redeemed of God, through every achievement reward they had earned back to God, because they knew and proclaimed that he was worthy to receive all glory, honor, and power. Our text says they all cast their crowns before the throne. Therefore, there are no divided opinions in heaven. There are no divisions, no sects, no schisms. There is unity in heaven. They are all in perfect harmony and sweet accord. What one does, all do. They cast their crowns without exception before the throne. Let us begin to practice that unanimity here on earth. As fellow disciples of the Messiah, let us get rid of everything and anything that would divide us from one another or separate us from the Lord. I do not read there was a single elder who envied his brother's crown and said, I wish there were such a one as he is, and I had his crown. I do not read that one of them began to find fault with their brother's crown and said, his jewels may be bright, but mine are brighter and have a special tint in them and are of greater excellence. I do not read aught of dissensions. They were all unanimous in casting their crowns at Yeshua's feet. They were all unanimous in giving glory to God. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. The 24 elders worship God because of his creative power and glory. The fact that God is creator gives him all right and every claim over everything that he has created, even as a potter has all rights and claims over the clay that he molds, Romans 9:21. God's right over us as a creator is a fact that can be accepted and enjoyed or rejected, leading to frustration. It's our choice. There is tremendous value in our recognizing our creatureliness before God, acknowledging that he is our creator. God's power put forth in the creation and administration of the world is twice here mentioned as that which can never be sufficiently admired and adored. We confess a fondness for the King James Version translation of Revelation 4:11. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This wonderful phrase, for thy pleasure they are and were created, reminds us that we each exist to give glory and pleasure to God. Until we do that, we don't fulfill our eternal created purpose. Because they represent all people of God, the worship, the crown, the robes, the heart of these 24 elders belongs to us also. There is a throne in heaven that no one can occupy but you, O God. And there is a crown in heaven that no other head can wear but yours, O God. And there is a part in the eternal song that no voice can ever encompass but yours. And there is a glory to God that would be wanting if you did not come to render it. And there is a part of infinite majesty and glory that would never be reflected unless you should be there to reflect it. Charles Spurgeon. But it also means that we should plan ahead for that great day. It's not something we often think about, but may God make it a part of our thoughts, that God prepare us for the day that we stand before you. Prepare us for that day when we have the opportunity to join the chorus of heaven. It also means that we should plan for that great day. If you and I should walk into some great cathedral where they were singing and ask to be allowed to sing in the choir, they would ask whether we had ever learnt the tune. They would not let us join unless we had. Nor can we expect the untrained voices should be admitted into the choirs above. Now, dear brothers and sisters, have you learned to cast your crowns at the Savior's feet? May God teach us to do so, so we are prepared for that great day. Abba, Father, in the name of Yeshua, please help us to always keep part of our focus on eternity. I mean, in one sense, we're to live one day at a time. In another sense, we're to live each day for eternity. God, we pray that our hearts would be filled with your wisdom, with your understanding, with your discernment. Oh God, that we would seek to do your will. Oh God, may your kingdom come and your will be done here in each and every one of us, in this place and at this time, for your glory and your honor and your praise. We ask these things, B'Shem Yeshua Meshichenu, in the name of Jesus our Messiah, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.